Recording started.
Good morning and welcome to Dr. Ng's Sunday Soul Connection. This our Christmas celebration. As always, we begin our time together by setting the intention with Naturally 7 and let it be.
Lord, I pray for this day we come together. That our hearts and our minds reflect you. Oh, that our lives go the better. Stay in tune with the thoughts of you. Oh, that pray that these words we are saying will be.
Invitation is for the next 45 minutes or so to just let it be. We know coming up to Christmas, the last Sunday before Christmas, there's lots to do. But trust me when I say it will all get done as you take this time out to align yourself with the source of all that is, the ground of being, the spirit of God within. We can get more accomplished, more achieved, more completed when we truly take time to be intentional and allow God to do God's work in and through and as us. So my theme, as always, is about how we can reflect and relate to sacred texts in a modern way that helps us live in this 21st century, but embracing the truth, the teachings of the past. And today's no different. Today I want us to look at a deeper meaning and understanding of what the Annunciation meant. And when we hear about Annunciation, we think of Gabriel appearing to Mary to reveal that she's about to give birth to God. But today I want to expand on that, because Gabriel did not only appear to Mary, he first appeared to Zechariah. So in order to put everything in context, let me kick off with our sacred text. And bear in mind, as I'm reading this text, I want you to realize, as always, there's a deeper meaning to the names and what they represent and what they mean esoterically. When I'm speaking about Zechariah, Zechariah's esoteric meaning is spiritual consciousness. When I'm speaking about Mary, I'm speaking about the representation of our soul that magnifies God, that intuitive and creative spark, that principle of the I am. And I'll explain further as we go along. So my text is taken from various parts of Luke. So let me just give a little preface to this first part, which is about Zechariah. Zechariah comes from a long family and tradition of priests who had the sacred duty at different times of the year of going into the Holy of Holies, their temple, which was a tent, and lighting the incense, whilst the people stayed outside and made their prayers and supplications to God. So it's now Zechariah's turn, and he's in the tent lighting the incense. He's a priest, so he's been doing this for many years. When suddenly he sees the angel Gabriel. The text reads, "While Zechariah was in the sanctuary, an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing to the right of the incense altar. Zechariah was shaken and overwhelmed with fear. when he saw him. But the angel said, "Don't be afraid, Zechariah. God has heard your prayer. Your wife Elizabeth will give you a son, and you are to name him John. You will have great joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth." Zechariah said to the angel, "How can I be sure this will happen? I'm an old man now, and my wife is also well along in years." Then the angel said, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. It was he who sent me to bring you this good news. But now, since you didn't believe what I said, you will be silent and unable to speak until the child is born. For my words will certainly be fulfilled at the proper time." Okay, so I'm going to interrupt the sacred text because I want to break this down just a little for you. I so love what the angel says. But even before that, let us look. Zechariah represents spiritual consciousness, that part of us that is constantly trying to develop ourselves, that's in prayer, that's feeling godlike, godly. And yet, he's in the Holy of Holies when an angel appears, a messenger of God, a pure thought, an idea, an inspiration comes to him. This messenger says, "Your prayers have been heard." Now, you would think that as a man of God, a priest of all these years, who's in the Holy of Holies lighting the incense, he would first say thank you. But instead he questions. He's challenging. And what I realized as I was reading this story and this text and looking and asking for what was the meaning behind this, how many of us have our Zechariah complex? When we are praying and asking God for something, when we are asking for guidance, we are asking for direction, we are asking for inspiration or intervention, and then when it shows up, just because it may not look exactly as we expected, we then challenge and dispute and actually don't believe. How many of us are so filled with fear even when we are praying? Because that's the first thing that the scripture tells us. He was overwhelmed with fear. This is a man of God. This is a priest whose work is to serve God and to understand that God moves in mysterious ways and shows up in ways we cannot understand. And yet a messenger, an angel of the divine, is standing in his presence and he's quaking with fear. And yet the angel tells him, "Don't be afraid. I've got great news for you. Your prayers are about to be answered." And instead of saying thank you, hallelujah, praise Jesus, praise God, praise whoever, he's going, "Well, how am I supposed to know this for sure? Because I'm already old and my wife's old, so how do you think this is going to happen?" I so love Gabriel, who is there in all his glory. Say, and I can just imagine, "I'm here standing telling you these wonderful news and you're questioning me? I who stand in the presence of God and was sent by God? I wouldn't have come, it was my own choosing, but I was sent by God to tell you this and now you are doubting." How many times do we get our Zechariah complex when we doubt that our prayers are being answered or have been answered because it doesn't look or feel like the way we expect? Beloves, this that I want to share with you this morning is for us to be aware when we are operating from a Zechariah level of consciousness. When we are operating from doubt and fear and trepidation and disbelief. Because even though we're doing the work, we're reading the books, we're attending the workshops, we are thinking we are on the path and this is it. If we don't embrace, embody, and express the teachings, the truth that our teacher said will set us free, then we are just going to be like Zechariah, doing the motions but filled with fear and doubt. The second part of our sacred text now refers to Mary, and Mary's in Nazareth. And the angel appears to her and says, "Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High." Mary asked the angel, "But how can this happen? I'm a virgin." The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby will be born holy, and he will be called the Son of God." Mary responded, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." And the angel left her. Now look at the difference. Mary, who esoterically means my soul magnifies the Lord, the intuitive aspect of our nature. When she hears this greeting, she's more interested, why would he call me this? Why would he address me as such? This is really interesting. The angels are trying to assure and tells her, don't be afraid. Because obviously, for most humans, when they see an angel, that's the first thing is fear. But she wasn't coming from a level of fear. She was coming from, what does this mean? This is an interesting greeting. He tells her, you're going to have a son. Her first thing is, well, I'm a virgin. How's that going to happen? He tells her, well, how it's going to be. And what she says is this, I am God's. And let everything you've said, let it be so. Let it come true. Bearing in mind, she's unwed, about to be betrothed to Joseph. And in those days and times, any sort of idea of adultery, you are going to be stoned to death. She's a young woman. She's not seeking her parents' consent. She's not seeking her blessing or approval from the rabbis to say, I'm going to birth a son of God. She's simply making this decision for herself. She is so devout. She is so bold. She is so courageous. She is so faith-filled. That she doesn't doubt what the angel says. She simply says, let your words, what you have said, come true. Once she's established the angel, how it's about to happen, God's going to give her this child. She doesn't say, well, I'm young and I'm unmarried and I'm about to be betrothed and, oh my God, what are my parents going to say? Oh my God, I might be stoned. She doesn't come with none of that. Notice the difference between what happens when Mary receives good news from the angel, from that compared to what Zechariah, a devout and a man of God, allegedly. I always say allegedly and I shouldn't. Because I believe that if we are following this truth, that if we're living, then we don't pick and choose when we believe God. We believe God for all things, in all things, as all things, through all things. God is not a God of some things and not of others. God who is the same yesterday, today, world without end, is unchangeable and unchanging. And yet this young girl, such was her faith, such was her belief, such was her trust in the Almighty, that she simply said, I am God's servant. Let it be so. My beloveds, we need to develop more of our Mary side of consciousness. That part of us that magnifies and that accepts God as God in and through and as us. So that we can say whatever we are facing, whatever we are situation or conditional circumstance that is before us. That we can trust that what we have asked will come to pass. That we won't be like Zechariah, doubting, fearful, and dubious when receiving his good news. But we can operate from that level of being, allowing the Christ mind to truly express it and through and as us, to be able to say, as you've said, let it be so. My beloveds, let us not just treat this as a historical something. Whether you want to believe in the Immaculate Conception or not, that's not the issue here. But as we look at the deeper meanings of what Mary and Zechariah represent, we can surely see in our daily lives when we are operating from a level of Mary consciousness or whether we're operating from a level of Zechariah. I know that I'm striving, and it is challenging from time to time, to operate from the level of Mary consciousness, where even though appearances may not be to how I think they're supposed to be, when I may not be seeing the answer to my prayers or even knowing that it's possible, to come back to this truth, this awareness, with God all things are possible. Further on in this text, I know that the angel Gabriel says that to Zechariah. You're doubting that God can give you a child in your old years. God, with God, all things are possible. But we tend to pick and choose when we believe that statement. If it's something that we deem easy or practical or, yeah, that's in the realms of doability, we hold true to that statement. When it moves beyond what we are capable in our finite consciousness of comprehending or understanding, we doubt. We forget that with God all things are possible. Don't be Zechariah. Be Mary. Recognize when something good is being said or done or being given to you to inspire you. Trust. Trust and believe that it is so. Trust that you too can birth the Christ consciousness in your being. Meister Eckhart, who was a 13th century German mystic, said, "We are all called to be mothers of God, for God is always waiting to be born." God is what we're talking about, is the Christ consciousness, that awareness that you are not one and that God is something else, but you are God in expression in you, through you, as you. When you birth that consciousness, when you birth that awareness, you will operate from a level of being like Mary. My story that I want to share with you, which was actually the inspiration for today, I saw a painting that I've not seen before. It was by a American artist, Brian, his name is quite unpronounceable. I will find it eventually. Kershishnik. And it says this, let me describe the painting first. It's a scene of the baby Jesus lying in the manger, surrounded by Mary and Joseph and two other women and a dog. And then all of them are surrounded by numerous angels, crowding around in various stages of awe and wonder to witness this blessed event. It took Kershishnik the entire semester and the following summer to paint the Nativity. He had no idea what he would paint when he first tacked up to the huge canvas, which was 17 foot long, in a narrow studio next to his classroom, announced to his students that he was going to create something ambitious and challenged them to do the same. The 17 foot Christmas themed painting so admired and claimed that December. So in an interview he says, "I was going to be at BYU. Teaching for just one semester, and because I wanted my students to be ambitious, I thought, well, I need to be ambitious too. So I went into the studio they provided for me next to the classroom and stretched the biggest canvas I could stretch, and then immediately lost my confidence. I was afraid of this huge canvas. I'd never painted anything of that size. I had some ideas before I stretched the canvas, but immediately all my ideas felt stupid. And in my sketchbook, I began listing various ideas to put on this terrifyingly large canvas. I started drawing angels or spirits or otherworldly witnesses. I thought about the births of my own children and just how densely witnessed those events felt. Then I thought, I'll do the birth of Jesus. I did a little sketch, just tiny, about as big as my thumb. I knew at that point that's what I was going to try and do. And because I was so afraid of the canvas, and because this was such a rich and spiritually significant subject, I knew if I wasn't careful, I would descend into more and more timidity and with about proceeding. So I went to the canvas and started at Mary's forehead and began. I had in mind the family in front, and then just the river of angels witnessing the event, and then speeding off to tell the shepherds." I invite you to Google that picture. If you Google Nativity and Brian Kershishnik, you'll see it come up. It's truly magnificent. But what the story reminded me of is that he gets the idea, the annunciation, the divine inspiration to create something that is totally ambitious and totally challenging. That's his annunciation. But then he gets his Zechariah moment when he looks at the size of the canvas and goes, oh my God, what am I thinking? This is huge. This is too much. This is terrifying. And then he gets his Mary moment where he recognizes, just starting small, drew a little thumb sketch in his book and then realized, let me start, and started with Mary. Beloved, we all are going to have Zechariah moments in our lives. We're all going to be straddled with guilt and concern and doubt and fear. But let us also remember our Mary moments. My poem for you this morning is by Dennis Martindale, and I've abridged it a little. In Roman times, when swords were raised and peace on the earth was rare, there lived a girl, now highly praised, a girl beyond compare. Her name was Mary, Joseph's love, betrothed, untouched by man, who met an angel from above, who then revealed God's plan. Young maiden, you are full of grace. The Lord chose you of all. You shall conceive and then embrace the child that God must call. He shall be a king, and rightly so, begotten of the Lord. And blessed is he, God's son, to know. So Mary, be assured. God's son was born as prophesied to Mary here on earth. My science of mind reading is simply entitled, See Yourself as You Really Are. The first quote comes from Rabbi Dov Heller, who says, there are voices all around us telling us who we should be, but somewhere amidst these voices is our own. Our second quote comes from Ernest Holmes, The Science of Mind, page 87, and says, no limits can be placed upon the spirit of man. It merges with the universal spirit, for the two are really one. The author writes, Joel Goldsmith writes that every issue of life is determined by consciousness, not by external forces. God is here and now. When we follow spiritual principles, discover the power within, and manifest our dreams, we have personal experience of spirit. Alan Cohen tells a fable about a young boy named Willow who wants to become a wizard. However, he fails the test given by a great wizard by not answering a question correctly. Years later, he and the wizard have a conversation, and Willow, having grown into manhood, answers the same question correctly. That he has learned that the power is within him. The wizard tells him, then you have become the master. When we realize that our power resides within, we become the masters of our lives. We don't fall victim to the vicissitudes of circumstances. We claim our power and move beyond any perceived limitations. Orson Swett Marden put it perfectly when he wrote, deep within man dwell those slumbering powers. Powers that would astonish him, forces that would revolutionize his life if aroused and put into action. My beloved, as we recognize the power within the God Spirit, the God Life, the God Presence, we can do astonishingly. We can recognize and live from a Mary consciousness of that absolute belief, connection, acceptance, trust, and faith that what God has said, God will do. So if you haven't already, I invite you to close your eyes and bring your attention to your breath, the gentle inhalation and exhalation, the ebbing and the flow, the contraction and the expansion. Always at this time, I like to remind you of the words of Job. He said, it is the Spirit of God that has made me. It is the breath of the Almighty that gives me life. As we consciously come into our heart space now, as we're breathing in, let us be conscious that we are breathing in the life of God that is both transcendent and immanent within and without. As you breathe in, say to yourself, this is my breath as I breathe in. As you breathe out, this is my breath as I breathe out. Inhale, this is my breath as I breathe in. exhale. This is my breath as I breathe out. In. Out. In. Out. In. Out. In. Out. In. Out. Now as you breathe in, say to yourself, this is my breath as I breathe in deeper. And as you breathe out, this is my breath as I breathe out slower. Inhale. This is my breath as I breathe in deeper. Exhale. This is my breath as I breathe out slower. Deeper. Slower. Deeper. Slower. Deeper. Lower. Now as you breathe in, say to yourself, this is my breath as I breathe in healing. And as you breathe out, say to yourself, this is my breath as I breathe out forgiveness. Inhale. This is my breath as I breathe in healing. Exhale. This is my breath as I breathe out forgiveness. Healing. 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 Now as you breathe in, say to yourself, this is my breath as I breathe in Mary. And as you breathe out, say to yourself, this is my breath as I breathe out Zechariah. Inhale. This is my breath as I breathe in Mary. Exhale. This is my breath as I breathe out. Mary. Zechariah. Mary. Zechariah. Mary. Zechariah. Mary. Zechariah. Zechariah. Here in the cave of the heart and the sanctuary of the soul, take a moment to be intentional for yourself for this week ahead. always you're invited to see in consciousness that which you wish to be, do, have, or experience. And don't be Zachariah, but be Mary, knowing that as you are seeing and feeling that which you wish or want, that God is able to do it. Take a deep breath in as we enter into our circle of prayer. As always, you're invited to include anything or anyone that is in need of prayer at this time. We know that God is spirit, is energy, is the life force that is everywhere present. At every point in space and time, there is nowhere where God is not. Divine Beloved, ground of being, Thou who art the source of all that is known by many names, but none can contain that which is You, the unknowable. As we consciously come into Your presence at this time, we ask that we surrender our Zachariah nature, that which thinks it believes in You but doubts all the same, that we may truly embrace our Mary complex and acknowledge that whatever You say You will do, You will do, for with You all things are possible. Let us trust, let us be bold, let us be courageous as she was. Let us know that truly You are able to do exceedingly abundantly more than we can ask or think. In this awareness, in this truth, in this alignment, let us surrender our doubts, our fears, our Zachariah complex, and truly step boldly into being the expressions of the divine life that we were created to be. At this time, when we celebrate the earth turning around this world at the solstice, as we recognize the light that comes into the world at this time in this hemisphere, we also celebrating the Christ light being birthed, not only at this time, but to be birthed in our consciousness all the time. And even though there are people of different religious persuasions, this is the truth of recognizing the spirit that is You, that is God, coming into their conscious awareness. So we hold in our hearts for everything that is happening across our globe, everything that is happening in nature, the fire still burning in Australia, the floods that are happening over here in various parts of the world, for the disasters, for all the wars, for the effects of war, for the effects of dictators, for suffering, for people being trafficked, for people who are in despair, for people suffering from Ebola and all manner of other sicknesses and diseases. At this time especially, we're remembering those that have not. For those that are homeless, without shelter, without food. For the refugees in camps. For those who are estranged from families, friends. At this particular time, we're holding in our hearts all of creation. The winged, the hoofed, the finned. When there are no words, we simply rest in the silence, knowing that You are able to do exceedingly abundantly more than we can ask or think, for with You all things are possible. Let us not be like Zachariah, doubting Your ability and Your availability. But let us be like Mary, bold and courageous, trusting and faith-filled. Let us be able to say, what You have said You will do, and we will trust. Divine Beloved, for Your infinite grace, Your endless blessings, Your eternal mercies, at this Christmas time. May all, as they gather with friends and family, remember the reason for the season. It's about love. And so it is. Amen. Take a deep breath in as we do our movement prayer. Raise your hands towards the sky, wriggle your fingers and affirm, I am one with all that is. Cross your hands over your heart, palms down and affirm, I am love expressing in human form. Bring your hands as if in prayer in front of your lips and affirm, I speak only words that uplift and are positive. Drop your hands to your sides, palms facing outwards, and affirm, I am grateful for every blessing in my life. Bend your elbows, make small circles with your wrists, and affirm, I release all limiting thoughts and beliefs. Take a deep breath in as I unmute the phones for our morning's Buddhist meditations and affirmations.
All guest lines have been unmuted. Press #6 to mute your line.
Our first affirmation is from our Science of Mind reading. In this moment, I claim my power. I go within and touch the divine. That awaits my recognition. Together we move forward. To create the life of passion. And purpose that is ours to live. Now our Buddhist meditation. If anyone has hurt or harmed me, knowingly or unknowingly in thought, word, or deed, I freely forgive them and I ask forgiveness. If I have hurt or harmed anyone, knowingly or unknowingly in thought, word, or deed. I forgive the past and close the door. I forgive all and resentment is dissolved. I forgive myself and I am at peace. I accept myself and I am free. May I feel protected and safe. Contented and at peace. May my physical body provide me with strength. May my life unfold smoothly and with ease. May I be happy. May I be peaceful. May I be free. May my friends be happy. May my friends be peaceful. May they be free. May those that challenge me be happy. May they be peaceful. May they be free. May all beings be happy. May they be peaceful. May they be free. Now, our prayer of intention. I am the light of God within and without. Radiating brightly. I am the love of God within and without. expressing unconditionally.
Expressing unconditionally.
I am the power of God within and without.
I am the power of God within and without.
Manifesting exuberantly.
Manifesting exuberantly.
I am the presence of God within and without.
I am the presence of God within and without.
Eternal and unceasingly. My beloved, as we're coming towards the close of our Sunday soul for today, as always, I'd like to leave you with a rumination, a roomy reflection. And this one simply says, why do we sell ourselves so short? Why do we seek our innate knowledge in books? How do we become so easily satisfied with just a little sweet? Is it because we don't know that we are a sea of wisdom and that the whole of existence has been created for our sake? So there will be no 10 of 10 this Thursday. It's Boxing Day. I know it's a holiday, so I'll allow you to have your holidays in peace. But I will be back with you next Sunday, as always, for Dr. Ng's Sunday Soul Connection. My benediction. May God grant you the light in Christmas, which is faith, the warmth of Christmas, which is love, the radiance of Christmas, which is purity, the righteousness of Christmas, which is justice, the belief in Christmas, which is truth, the all of Christmas, which is Christ. My closing song, I have been saving it up for you. If it doesn't make you click your fingers and get into the spirit of Christmas, I don't know what will. It's Vanessa Williams and Brian McKnight, Joy to the World. Enjoy.
Thank you. Happy Christmas.
Thank you. Happy Christmas.
Joy. Thank you.
If that doesn't get you in the Christmas mood, I don't know what will. Beloved, I wish you a very blessed and happy Christmas. I look forward to joining you next Sunday. Peace and blessings.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.